Hello and welcome to the Bailey and Harding Sound System. I am Anna Harding.
And I'm Ali Bailey. You're listening to episode 41, live and direct from our houses, but not live because it's recorded.
But it is direct, I guess.
It's direct into your ears.
Direct into your ears.
When we are in your ears, is one of us in the left ear and one of us in the right ear?
No. Oh. Well, it depends. Well, we have got a new editor now.
We have got a new editor now.
So shout out to our new editor, Julius. Thank you very much for taking the extra work off me. So yeah, it depends whether Julius puts you in the left ear and me in the right or vice versa. But please don't do that, Julius. That's not how this podcast works.
You've given him the idea now. This is going to be a surround yeah. sound. It's going to be awful. It's going to be sort of sound effects and all sorts of things on it.
That's fine.
Seriously, though, thanks, Julius. We do appreciate your contribution to culture, because that's what it is. It's contribution to
it
culture.
It is contribution to culture. In fact, you might get an MBE for that one day.
I wouldn't be surprised, or some sort of BAFTA.
BAFTA.
What is
that's
BAFTA?
Film and TV. British Academy of Film and TV Awards.
A BAFTA.
No.
Hey, what's your win?
Actually, I got an email the other day. No, I got an email. I got an email the other day from the Webby Awards asking us if we wanted to add in our podcast. £500 to enter.
Right. To enter.
Yeah. So, funnily enough, I didn't enter us.
Oh, why not?
don't have that kind of spare cash laying around.
I wonder how many followers the Webby Awards have got on Instagram. Why we're chatting.
They bought.
I might just have a little look a loony. Do people buy followers anymore? Anyway.
They do. They do.
The Webby Awards.
I've never, but.
The Webby Awards got 124,000 followers.
They've bought most of them.
I mean, it doesn't look like. There's quite a lot of pictures of women in their underwear on this grid. I'm just saying.
Is it the right
yeah,
one?
The Webby Awards, honouring the best of the internet since 1997. Was the internet even a thing there? Webby and nominees announced April the 2nd.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of pictures of women in their underwear. Yeah, anywho. What's your win? Have you been winning this week? Have you?
I won.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won. I won the winter 10K.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm proud
now,
of you.
Now, by winning the Winter 10K, what I mean is I didn't come first. I was not first place in the Winter 10K. But neither was I last place. Even if I was, it wouldn't have mattered.
Where were you in the pregnant category? Because surely they must have one.
Oh, I don't know. There was not a pregnant category. A pregnant category. But I did it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Honestly. So today is Tuesday. I'm 2 days post-race and I feel like I've run a multi-day, multi-stage ultra, which I think is my grim as well. I wrote down extreme fatigue as my grim.
Extreme fatigue.
Honestly, like I was struggling to keep my eyes open at work yesterday on Monday. And today I've got my scheduled nap for this afternoon because, oh my God, I don't think until I got pregnant, like I've been tired before. God, everyone's been tired. But I don't think I've ever felt the like, I think I'm going to die from fatigue tiredness before. And you laugh. But
no,
I read
know.
Someone.
I don't know if it's the same, but I had it after Run Britannia, where it was like non-negotiable. And I have to lay down on the sofa now. Right
yes.
this second.
Yes.
It would be 20 minutes and I would just be gone. And then I'd be up again. I'd be like, huh. And it was like someone had whacked me with a hammer.
Yes. And literally, like when you're working in an office and you've got news bulletins to read every hour, like when you literally all you need to do is lie down and have a little sleep, you can't do that. It's frowned upon. So so yesterday I was all aboard the struggle bus. I was so tired. I just have never quite felt that.
You can't prop yourself up either, can you? Because you can't stuff yourself with caffeine or Pro Plus or like anything else.
No. I had my limit of caffeine yesterday and that was it. And it didn't even touch the sides. I was just like, and I had the worst headache as well. Because you get like super dehydrated when you're pregnant. So then when you're running, also the Winter 10K didn't have any water stations on it, right? And I don't know how I feel about this because as a 10K, for the slower people at the back, hi, So it took me an hour and 10 minutes. Like, I'd have liked a little sippy sip of water at about 5K.
An hour and 10 minutes is actually really good for somebody that's pregnant. Like, thank really you. Good. Like,
oh, yeah, I mean, I did just drop that in like a...
What's the cut-off on it? Or the old winter 10K?
I don't know. A couple of hours? Something like that.
But, like, so let's not talk about how far it is. Let's talk about how long you're out there on your feet with water.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There should be a water station at halfway.
Yeah, but under the premise of environmentalism and being environmentally friendly, they do not provide water.
Well, they can provide water. It's just people have to provide their own cups.
Yeah, they said if you want water, then you have to bring your own.
I think that. Oh, okay. Did they say that at the beginning?
Yeah, they did. Oh, yeah. So I read the instructions. I just did not take my water because I was like, the thing is, I never know whether I'm going to want water or not. And if there's a water station, then I can make the decision there and then. But if you've got to make the decision while you're packing your stuff to go down to London, at that point, you probably don't need water. So you're like, nah, I won't need water for a 10K.
There isn't a cutoff for the winter 10K, but participants will need to run at a 2-hour pace from the last wave.
Yeah.
And if they exceed this, they may be asked to be onto the pavement. But that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because it's closed roads. They close all the roads in central London, so.
Ooh, was there loads and loads of people there then?
22,000.
Sounds like UTS. Did you have to get there at lunchtime before to get your tracker?
Yeah. Oh.
Brutal. Sounds brutal. That's nice. It must be such a nice atmosphere with all those runners all together. It was. Having a good time.
Yeah, it was. And it's been such a long time since I've had that. I think the last time was possibly Big Bear, Paul Albin. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, my God. Every week it gets, what is it now? 8:11. So it's probably been 10 minutes into the pod.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, how did you feel? How did you feel? Because obviously it must have been quite a emotional big day for you. Because it's like, well, don't know when we're going to be doing that again, do we?
Yeah, I tried not to think too much about that side of it. Because I think if I did, I'd just be a blubbering mess the whole way round. And I was just like, I'm just here to just have a fun time and enjoy it. I went into it genuinely wondering whether I could complete the distance or not. Because going, like, the training-wise, I'd been training. Then I got my injury on my hip. Then I ran a little bit again. Then I was away. And so it's just, you know, it's not been the best build-up to a 10K. But, you know, actually, old me would be like, yeah, but it's 10K. You can get away with that. Like, you'd still be able to bosh out a sub-hour 10K. But pregnant me is like, I don't know if I can do that. Because, like, that's like a challenge now to me.
Yeah.
And also I was so, this is like the truth bomb. I was so worried about getting injured or that hip thing coming back. And it was so painful the last time. If I was like, when I was running training, that I didn't want it to come back and then me be not able to do the race at all. So I hid from my problems and instead I just didn't run as much and just went into it like untrained, but at least I wasn't injured. Now I am not advocating that as advice at all.
That's interesting, because I know a lot of people that do advocate that advice on the internet.
I know, but it was a big thing for me to like to do the race. I wanted to do the race, and it was kind of like if I get injured doing the race, at least I've done it. And now I've got like months until the baby arrives and I can just swim or go to the gym or whatever. But I came out injury free and I finished it, and I did it in an hour and 10. So yeah, all good. And I felt like it felt good up to a point of about 6K. Then it felt a little bit tough, and then it felt good again. So pretty much like any 10K I've ever run. And then looking at like my stats, because I've done that race before, on Strava they do like they estimate your like effort level for runs, and the effort level for my run on Sunday was exactly the same as my effort level for the last time when I raced it and did it in like 50 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's really interesting of how much effort it took me.
You're literally the opposite of me at the moment, because my efforts are getting easier. So like my slow, easy runs are getting faster, but I'm still putting in the same effort. Whereas you're as yours getting slower, but you're still putting in the same effort.
That's which because you're getting fitter.
Yeah, I know, but don't you think it's fatter? It's interesting. It's just interesting, like, to see the science working.
Yeah.
Like, you're growing a human being.
Yeah.
Come on, listener, let's not underestimate that. That's pretty mental. And I'm not. So, but I just think it's really, really interesting. It's just interesting. It's all interesting. I love it.
And the thing is as well, like, there's so little research available about this sort of stuff because everyone's pregnancy is different. Mm-hmm. Everyone's body going into pregnancy is different. And everybody's body, like, during pregnancy changes at different rates and all the rest of it. And also, we're only pregnant for a certain window. So in order to get, like, a sample of people available to actually do any research on it, I think it's probably quite difficult.
What are your plans for running going forward?
So now is, so I am going to just basically, like, maintain. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to run when I want to run. Mm-hmm. I'm going to carry on with my park runs. But I think anything over 5K for me is probably, like, done now. Just because I needed a wee the whole way round, but not in the fact that, like, I needed to go for a wee. Like, just we've spoken about it before, just the need to go. Like, there was no wee that was going to come out. I just needed to go because I think she was sat on my bladder the whole time. So
just bouncing on it like that, up and down, like a space hopper.
Yeah, basically. So
embryo,
the thought
on a space hopper.
Going out for an hour and 10 minutes run round Rugby where there's no, like, Portaloos. So there were Portaloos at halfway and I eyed them up and I was like, shall I go in? And I was like, I don't need to wee. I know I don't need to wee.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably, you know, 5Ks, keep it light, keep it simple. Still got my pregnancy yoga, got my swimming. Bit of, like, my classes that I teach, I still, like, join in with. So got my strength as well. So yeah, just keep active, but
cry at the end?
Yeah, I cried.
Oh,
just a little tear, just a little. Oh. It was kind of like I feel like it was more of a happy tear that I'd finished it. It didn't feel like when I nearly lost it on the pod the other week because I was getting emotional thinking about the fact that I'm not going to, like, be running for a while. It was more
get,
of like...
You get emotional when I flash up a picture of a chick, a newborn chick. Or
yeah,
like...
no, yeah. Anything with, like, baby things, I'm now like... I bought, oh my God, I bought this really cute, like, fluffy bear jacket thing. It's got ears on the hood.
Do you know what pisses me off?
What?
They don't make those for grown-ups.
No, I know. I want a matching one.
Hmm.
TBF. So I bought her a little one of those the other day and got, like, a little bit mosh about that as well.
Bloody ruddy Nora.
It's the hormones.
Jeepers creepers, listener.
Anyway, this has turned into somewhat of a winter run 10K debrief episode.
But we can't do a debrief episode on the 10K. I'm sorry, what? But would you recommend that race? How many marks out of 10 would you give it?
I would give the race 8 out of 10. It's very busy. It's very well organised for the fact that there are so many people. But, you know, like, if you know central London and you want to get somewhere, like, I needed to meet the Running Channel guys at a prep that had been predetermined. But the prep that had been predetermined was behind the start line,
mm-hmm.
which meant if you wanted to get there, you could, well... One of them managed to get there. I don't know how. Basically, like, the whole of central London around Trafalgar Square was like a one-way system because it was so military organized that you can only go the way they want you to go, which is not probably marking them down. But at the same time, it does just mean that everything takes a long time. If you want to go to Bag Drop, if you want to do this, if you want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. You know, I don't really like people. So
you'd not, hate it. You
that's
would
not
hate
for me.
It.
It's certainly not a bing 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 Big Bear event, is it?
But what I did enjoy about it as well was that it was a rolling start. So rather than they gave us waves and sort of gave us, like, suggested arrival times, but they set all the, like, front runners off, like, at 9, I think. And then you just basically continued your way through the start area. And when you got to the start line, you started. It wasn't like they held everybody and set them off in actual blocks. So I really enjoyed that, actually, because there wasn't too much hanging around once you were getting to the start area. But also, I read somewhere that it's not actually a UK athletics official measured course.
What?
So
That's
it doesn't actually
it.
count. So if you get like a PB or whatever, if
Jonathan
you're.
Davies isn't going to be very thrilled with this 28 minutes and 46 seconds that you've won it in.
I know. Woo! Yeah, I don't think it's a UK athletics affiliated measured proper course, which the Shoreditch 10K, the Adidas one that they used to do, that wasn't either. And that was my PB for a while, but it didn't show up on the Power of 10, which is a website whereby all your fastest times go on, because it wasn't a proper race. Because I emailed the Power of 10 and I was like, my 10K is not showing up. And they're like, that's because Adidas didn't pay to have it ratified. So it's all in all, the Winter 10K is basically a charity event for
What
Cancer
is Power
Research
of
UK.
10? Like, I know
I
what it
just
is, but can you ex
explained.
yeah, but like if I put a power if I go on Power of 10, my ultra's on it.
No,
I was going
it's
to say, because how do you
more.
ratify a 100-mile course?
Well, yeah, properly measured. It's basically you can look up any athlete,
Yeah.
and it's more athletics based.
Right.
So it goes up to marathon, and but it also does like shorter stuff. So like when I've done track races and stuff like that, it shows your PBs from there. So like if you ask me what my PB is for 200 meters, I don't know, can't remember,
If
but
it's yeah, this isn't for me, is it? I'm just like,
it's not
what
for
is it
you. 200
for?
meters, can you imagine running
What's it
200 meters?
for? A power of 10. What's it for? Like, what do people use it for?
It's like a record of achievement. Do
Okay.
you remember those?
Yeah, mine's funny.
The
I got mine out when I was writing the book. Mine is funny.
red folder, and you put all
Yeah.
of your bits in.
Yeah. All of the
Yeah.
times that I'd reviewed Suede at the Bournemouth International Centre, and then she kind of seen in the Southampton Guildhall, things like that, in the Daily Echo, obviously.
But not your GCSE and A level
Because I was
results.
a serious journalist.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's got my GCSE and A level results in there, of course. It's got the school reports in there, it's got all of that stuff in there.
They put your parkrun results on Power of 10 as well.
Our
I don't
power
know
of 10
why.
really isn't for me at all. I think that me
No,
and power
no.
and 10, I think we should I'm not power of 10.
The Wendover Woods 10 miler that we did is on there.
Oh dear, oh dear.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just that's a ratified course, obviously. I just find it interesting because some people do take it quite seriously, their power of 10, don't they?
Yeah, very. Oh, very. But it depends what kind of runner you are. And I think that's the
Yeah.
nice thing about like this pod and you and me and whatever is that like there are different runners that different things matter to different people. And like when I was first starting out, Power of 10 like mattered to me because I was running for a club and I was around those sorts of people who it matters to. So yeah, I.
But then it's like Strava, isn't it? Because some people are
Yeah.
obsessed with how much kudos they get on Strava. I've got pe
Yeah.
I know people that have a go that are like, why didn't you like my run on Strava? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but what do you want now? But they use it
Yeah.
like a social media platform. Like they're so like, I had someone message me the other day and say, I saw that you'd written this on Strava. And I'm like, I haven't written anything on Strava. It's a Bandoc title. It's a made up title. Like, and they'd assumed something about my life from a made up title on a run on
Yeah.
Strava. And I was like, because everybody uses it all for different reasons. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's good and
Yeah.
not bad. I'm just interested. Like, what are all these things? Listener, is there stuff we don't know about going on in the background that we should know
Yeah.
about when it comes to measuring our perceived success in the sport?
Definitely. I think Strava is an interesting one. Like, as someone who coaches people, like, and I'm sure you're the same, I guess, you like to use it as their like training log, and like you can check in and see what they're up to and see what they're doing.
I never look at my athlete's Stravas. Ever.
What? Really?
Never. I ask
I
them
always
to tell
did.
me what they've done. And then if they're on intervals or sprintervals or mintervals or grintervals, I ask them to send me their screenshot of their Garmin Connect with
Nice.
their laps on. But I don't look at their Stravas because I don't have time. I honestly don't have time. I've got 30 athletes. I do not have time to go raking through their Stravas and looking at them. And I trust them. And do you know what's really interesting? Holly, who coaches me, isn't on Strava.
No.
So I was like, oh my God, she's going to see that I've done this. No, she won't. She literally doesn't know, which is a big relief, because when I go and do naughty runs, as I call them, at the weekend with my friends, long ones with lots of hills in them, she can't see.
So you trust your athletes and then you lie to your coach.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Do
brilliant.
As I say, not as I do.
Okay.
Oh, awesome run coaching. Do as I say, not as I do.
That should be your tagline.
Yes.
That absolutely should. Hey, enough about the winter run and all this bollocks. What about you? What's your win this week?
I sort of struggled for a win because it's quite boring, but it is a win. And that is that I went for a run. I've been for two runs in the Lake District in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And both of them have just been incredible, which is
French. The weather's been so nice.
French for incredible, occasionally.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, the weather has been very nice. And it was just, it's just stunning. What a country we live in. Aren't we lucky?
Oh, I know. I love the lake so much. Like, just, you said on one of your stories, you're like, I'm in the lakes again. I might as well just move here. I was like, I wish I could move to the lakes.
I'm in a quandary about either moving to the lakes or to Cornwall. And I'm pretty set on Cornwall. Lakes. Except the lakes is really cool. But the lakes is really expensive. And it's also full of people.
Cornwall's
lots of people.
Really expensive too, though.
Yeah, but it's not full of people because it's just so bleak. So when I was, so I stayed in Grasmere, and the leg we were doing was Ennerdale to Ennerdale, not Emmerdale. That would be a long run.
It would be a long run because I used to run around by the Woolpack, which is in Emmerdale in Yorkshire.
Weatherby. The set for Emmerdale is in Weatherby. I've run past it
the outside of the pub that they use is just outside of Saltaire.
Me and Anna are actually going to start doing tours. Emmerdale.
Your other friend, Anna, or me?
You.
Oh, because we know about Emmerdale.
To know about Emmerdale Farm.
Brilliant. Yeah, anyway.
Emmerdale. So basically, the Lakes Traverse runs from St. Bees, which is on the West side of England, to Shap, which is at the end of the Lake District.
East side,
and it's 100K.
Shap's on the A66, isn't it?
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful knowledge. Yes, there you go. It's basically the end of the Lake District if you run across the middle of it. And that's what's happening with the Lakes Traverse, which is why it's called the Lakes Traverse. Traverse is French for fucking long way across.
No, so it's not.
So, to travel, Earth, to go fucking hell, this is a
fucking long way.
Yeah. So, I did Grasmere to Shap the other day. And then I did Ennerdale to Grasmere, because the first 10 miles from St. Bees, or 13 miles from St. Bees to Ennerdale, it's all on kind of roads. It's pretty easy. Like, it's like, come on, let's crack-a-lack on. And then you get to Ennerdale and it's like, doof, there's all these big mountains. Oh my God. It was beautiful. And I was really worried there'd be so many people, there'd be loads of people out, because it was like the weather wasn't too bad. But we got to the Blacksail Pass, and from there we didn't see anybody. From the Blacksail Pass to Honister, we saw nobody. And it was gnarly, and there was snow on the tops, ankle-deep snow on the tops. Mm. And it was sunny, and it was snowing, and it was raining, and then it was sunny again, and there was no wind. Oh my God. And it was one of those things where you're like, this is why I run. Not because, like, I want to run up these hills like some sort of hero. Like, I was walking up the hills, like, huffing and boofing up the hills. Yeah. But there was no people, and it was silent. And there were, you couldn't hear road, you couldn't hear anything. It was just silent. Oh, it was so good. That's such a nice weekend.
And you bagged, I love them, the summit bag thing. You bagged Honister Pass and Lining Crag.
Yep.
You also, so where you were, from Rossthwaite, where you went down into like Borrowdale and Stonethwaite, etc., and followed it along to Grasmere.
Yep.
That is Seven Valleys.
Is it?
Territory. Mm-hmm. It is indeed. Hated that bit.
Every time you talk about the lakes, you're like, not Grasmere. But I hated that bit.
I hated that bit.
That bit. It's got like some real big spikes in it. Like the one with the recce I did at the weekend, it's got two big spikes in it. Then the one from Grasmere through to Shap's got another three big spikes in it where it's like, fuck me. These are like brutal. They're not brutal. That's the wrong word. They're just very
brutal, mate.
Very
brutal.
High, steep, rocky, wet, boggy climbs. And going up the second descent before we got went down to Honister, that Kirsty's like, I fell over. Kirsty's like, I fell over here and banged my knee. I was like, you banged your knee. Sounds quite serious. Did you have to call Bear? She was like, no, but it was very serious. It was banged. But it's all skiddy rock, isn't it? Anyway, it was a win. I loved it. Now I'm really looking forward to the event. I think it'll be a super, super good event. And I just felt very grateful for being a runner. It was lovely. I loved it.
Oh, so it's a 93-kilometre route with 2,947 metres of elevation. Happening in April, 6th of April,
but the worst bit about it is Kirsty's doing the Northern Traverse, which is the same day. So the Lakes Traverse, we set off at 8 a.m. We've only got 100k. She's got 200 miles to do.
I know.
And they set off an hour after us, so they're chasing us down. We stop at Shap. Their aid station is at Shap. So they see us all with our medals and our bit pot noodles, getting in our car, being all warm. It's night time. It's at the middle of the night, and they're like, shit, we've still got 130 miles to do.
No.
I just think that's the hardest thing. Like, if I was on the World Horse, if I'd have had that, I just would have been like, that is mentally so hard, isn't it?
Yeah. So hard. Like, there is nothing worse than, like, you know, it's hard enough. You know, I was reading a friend of the pod, Rebel's Instagram post yesterday. She did the Trans Gran Canaria 126K.
Oh, what a race that is. That's on my bucket list.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that the one that Courtney just won?
Yeah, and Emma Stewart came third.
Woo! Good work, Emma. That's amazing.
I just love her so much. She's so brilliant.
So Rebel was saying that she found it was the third hardest, in the top three hardest things she's ever done. Alongside recovery from COVID and childbirth, at which my down belows went. But yeah, she said, except that with COVID and childbirth, there's no emergency stop button. The thing with ultra running is that there is a stop button in front of you the whole way because there's a bus to take you home every 10K.
And there is on some races.
There's not on others, but... when you're doing the Northern Traverse and you get to Shap,
there is an emergency stop
button. There's an emergency stop button. So, like, you've got to be so mentally fit to not be like, oh, fuck this. That's enough. And the thing is as well, like we've said before, like the cost per mile and stuff like that, like the Northern Traverse is very expensive.
It is quite expensive.
Very long way.
Yeah, but like it'll be more expensive if you stop at 100K. If you work out the cost per mile, it's just not feasible, really.
No.
But it's not very nice, the Northern Traverse. They don't let you sleep in like at the Wild Horse, I slept in school halls. You're sleeping in blue tents. They sleep in a tent.
Yeah.
On the trail. If you go to sleep on the side. Yeah, on the side of the trail. So it's like, it's just an absolute bastard of a race. I'll be really interested to... I've spoken to Kirsty about it already because she's done it already. She's done it already and finished it. She's going back to it again. What's wrong with people?
Is it harder than the spine?
No, it's shorter than the spine. It's 68 miles shorter and it's not harder, I don't think. I mean, it all depends on what you're into, because last year the weather was really good, but it was very, very cold at night. Kirsty was like, it was unbelievably cold at night, even though it was April. But I think that you don't have to carry as much kit. The checkpoints are closer together. There's more of them, and it's nowhere near as long, because 68 miles.
So it's quite bougie then.
It's bougie. It's basically the winter 10K.
Just a few more hills.
The Northern 10K, but it's, you're not allowed crew and you're not allowed to be supported. It's a shade event, so it's an hour. Yeah. They do Cape Wrath and Dragon's Back and stuff. So it's quite serious.
Yeah.
But it's hard, man. Like those recces I've been doing, they are hard. Like it's you know, the one I did the other day was 24 miles and these 7,000 foot of vert. It's a real small amount of running for a big amount of vert. But really, really good, and such an incredible place to run. So yeah,
that's
I'm excited about that race.
2,100 meters, that is.
Yeah, it's
7,000
gross.
foot. Yeah,
Gross.
it sounds like a really good race. I mean, it's not one that I'm interested in doing, thanks, but I'm sure you'll have a lovely
I will have a lovely time. I will have a
time.
lovely time.
I'd like to just quickly just divert and just go off on a slight tangent, but it's kind of linked. So I mentioned friend of the pod, Rebel.
I wish my name was Rebel.
That's
Can
not her
everyone
name.
start calling me Rebel from now on?
Can do. That's not her name.
Was that your name of your new baby?
No, I found out what her real name is, and I don't think
What?
she'd mind me sharing it
What is it?
because, well, I'll tell you for why I found out what her real name is. She posted a video from the end of Trans Gran Canaria 126K with the caption, "Point of view, when you run for over 23 hours, but no one cares because someone did a finish line proposal."
Oh, stop it.
So as she's got her finisher video at the finish line, and literally no one cares that she's finished because there is a man proposing to a woman in front of her, and the woman's name is Rebecca, and Rebel thought that because the man on the mic that was like emceeing and was like, "Oh look, it's Rebecca, will she say yes?" Rebel was like, "Will I say yes to what?" And she came around the corner and was like, "Oh, there's a man proposing to a woman." Both the man and the woman
Was
had run. I know. We've done this. We've already done the proposals, but I just thought it was funny that Rebel
Did she
had one
say
happen.
yes? She probably did say yes. She was like,
I
get
think
up. Yes, get up. We'll talk
I
about the
think so.
hotel. We'll talk about the hotel.
I watched the video and I couldn't really tell. But the video is so sweet, bless her, Rebel just like coming in the background of like, "Oh, sorry, I feel like I'm interrupting something."
Kicking the ring into the air. Away. Hey, proposal for you. I propose you fuck off so I can finish my rounds in peace. But that would have been very, they would have remembered that.
So, yeah, sorry, I just wanted to go on a little tangent there. Have you got a grim?
Sauna foot.
Excuse me. What?
Sauna foot.
What is sauna
All
foot?
runners will know what I'm talking about. You
I
know what
don't
I'm talking
know.
about. Yes, you do.
Is it when your feet go white?
It's when you are just going about your business, right? So I've got a steam room and a sauna at my gym because I am bougie, and I go about my business. And I was just in the I went to the steam room, sat there with my feet up, like because I'm stretching, putting my legs on the nice hot steamy thing, so people can see my feet. And then I got in the sauna and I did the same thing on the top level and I put my feet out and then I was like, ah, this is so nice. And then I was got home and I was like, I took my socks off. And as I took my socks off, the entire bottom of my foot came off as one massive dead skin. And I was like, oh my God, I must have sat in the sauna with my feet up and people can see the bottom of them with the flapping bits of skin hanging off. Because at the arc, I got two big blisters on the bottom and I slashed them. But then obviously now it's like the skin's like a month later, the skin's like, okay, with this skin is now done. So off it comes. And obviously putting it into that water for a long time flaps it up. But the bros must have seen it. Sauna foot. Flappy sauna foot skin.
Flappy
Horrible.
sauna foot skin.
Yeah, horrible stuff. And it's like, I'm sure it's a runner's thing. Like I was once in a really posh Airbnb in Costa Rica in the swimming pool with my American friends, and one of my toenails pinged off and floated to the top.
Oh
And I just
yeah,
was like,
that's
what?
yeah.
Why are we so gross? Like gross stuff just happens to us in public.
I think there was a question on QI the other week or something, because one of the guys who works in the radio station where I freelance just wandered over to my desk the other week and was like, "Anna, you know about running. Have you ever lost any toenails?" I was like, "Yeah, all the time." And he was like, "Oh, that's really horrible."
Anna just took a step back from her desk.
Yeah.
Oh, like he said, Anna, have you got COVID? Yes. Oh.
Oh. And I was like, "Yeah, they come off all the time. Like they get bruised and then they die and then the new ones grow underneath and they ping off." He was like, "I didn't even know that that was the thing." And I found it mental that there are people out there who don't know that that's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, there must be hundreds and hundreds of them. Yeah, but there must be people who think if it happens, it's really bad and you have to go to hospital. Yeah. Like, have your foot operated on or something.
Yeah, but
whereas we're just like, oh, look, peeling it off like a fucking banana skin.
I'll tell you what, there's a girl who I used to go to school with, and she, I think she used to like pick her toenails or like chew her toenails. She always used to get ingrown toenails, and she had to go to the hospital to have her toenails removed because she kept getting so many bad ingrown toenails on her big toes. So her big toes just ended up looking like thumbs.
That's exactly like the back of your thumb, not the what happened of your to thumb, my brother.
Because they had, and she had no nail at all. And there's like a little kind of like a, I'm just making like an indent on my thumb. And there was like a little kind of like bit where they'd like sewed it all up together. And yeah, she still.
So gross. I had the same problem. But it wasn't because I was eating my toenails. Just because you get ingrown toenails, but you don't cut them straight because they grow into the bed of the nail, right?
So, and you have to cut little triangles in them to encourage them to grow back out. Because I always used to get ingrown toenails too.
But mine was cauterized on my big toe. So now there's like a wall, there's like a barrier of nail like that between the toe bed and the toenail that grows up. So a few years ago, I was in Thailand and I went to have a pedicure. Now this nail bit goes up to stop the other nail growing into the toe. Oh my God. So I was in Thailand, I was getting a pedicure, and these Thai ladies were like, they were talking Thai, and they were like, ha, ha. And they were like pulling over all the Thai ladies in the place to look at my feet. And I must have had 30 of them all sort of shrieking and poking it like it was some sort of sea anemone that was kind of like highly embarrassing.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but I think it's like, I think we take it so for granted that people know about all the weird things that happen.
Yeah.
Like, and we're just, so I was about a year ago when I had my old PT, I went into the gym one day and he's like, oh my God, your legs. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, look, what have you done? He's like, have you been attacked by a cat or something? I was like, no. He's like, they're just so, oh my God, I've never seen anyone like with legs like that. Like, are you sure you're okay? Have you got a tetanus jab? I'm like, it's because I went running. I just was running through some bushes. Like, and it's just where the briars had scratched them. I was like, there are a lot of scratches, but it's not like I look like I've just done a round of the Barclay. But he was like, I can't believe that you would just do that. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Yeah. Like, that's so bad. And I was like, it's really not. But I think, maybe this is a question for the listeners. Yeah. What have you had a colleague at work or somebody that you know from the real world say something to you about your toenails, your scratches, anything that's happened to you on a race, and be absolutely shocked that you would allow such a thing to happen?
Yeah, because I remember when I went out on like one of my first runs with the Saltaire Striders when I lived in Yorkshire, I joined them in like the February, so it was like dark and cold and horrible, so we mostly like ran on the roads then. And then when the weather got better, one of the first runs that we did was a trail run. And it was my first ever trail run. And I was like, what is a trail run? I don't know what this is going to be like.
What were you wearing on your feet? Please tell me.
Road shoes. Obviously. But it was fine because like the ground was totally dry because it was like the summer. It was April, but it was like back in the day when, you know, April used to be warm and dry.
The 90s.
And not quite that long ago, and we went down through the woods and it was really lovely and beautiful, and then we went up on this hill and then we went across a field and we went to come back down and it was just a field of stinging nettles. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where are we going? And they were like, down there. And I was like, where? I can't see the path. And they're like, no, it's because it's a bit overgrown, like the stinging nettles and stuff. And I was like, and I was wearing shorts and I was like, but I'm going to get stung. They're like, ah, you'll be all right. And honestly, like, I got stung so bad all the way down. And I was like, this isn't okay. Like, why have you taken us this way? This is a dreadful way. But like, that is the way of the trail runner. And I didn't know
about
that.
Before you knew about sack of turds. Before you knew about sack of turds. Before I knew
about the sack of turds.
Exactly.
So yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I remember that as well. Or we might get scratched. Now it's like you just run through briars.
Yeah. Well, And like you mentioned, like when you said, oh, it's not like I did a round at the Barclay, I didn't realise quite how briary and prickly the Barclay was until like you watch some of the documentaries and you see some of the like aftermath of some of the people that have done it. And you're like, fuck, you literally look like you've gone 10 rounds with a tiger.
Yep. I've spoken to people that have done around a bit, like James, and I'm like, how does it happen? I think I actually had a conversation with Nikki Spinks about it, because I was like, why don't you just wear leggings? And she said, because if you wear leggings, it just rips them. They're so spiky and they get stuck in.
Yeah.
So she's like, there's no point. You might as well just like, she's tried calf guards. They haven't worked. But there's a lot of, it seems like there's a lot of blood loss, and it's just, it's every round, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I said to Kirsty the other day, the best way to train for the Barclays is to go wrap yourself in barbed wire and then go for a run.
And jump up and down a bit.
Yeah.
There's no way of avoiding it. And also, like, the bit that I think it's the bit that goes down to the prison, they call it like something, do they call it something jaw?
Ratchel,
yeah.
So ratchels, they've, in the last couple of years, they've actually mown it. They've mown it so the briars aren't that high.
Right.
And I think it's the only place photographers are allowed on the course.
Yeah.
Because you get really good photographs of people coming up it and going back down it. Yeah. And so I think they mow it so you can get those photos. But in the first couple of years, they didn't. And it was like neck high briars.
Yeah. And also it's so steep that people would like lose their footing and fall down it and just fucking roll through the briar. Oh, spiky, spiky, ouch.
Do you know what? We might have a man on the ground at Barclay this year, me and you. Someone to give us a bit of insider info, slide it through the net.
Might we?
An on the ground reporter.
Is it Miller?
I can't tell you where my sources are from. It's definitely not. It's not Dean Cox.
It's Miller.
It's Dean Cox. Dean's going out there.
The podcast pet's doing the Barclay.
He's been asked to go out by Laz. Just to talk.
And he's literally, his heart has just fallen into his stomach and he's like, what the fuck have you signed me up to?
Yeah. So actually there was I don't want to have to mention another podcast, but there was another podcast and Miller was on it. It was really good. Where he was talking about Barclay.
Okay.
She doesn't like sharing the poddy, love, does she?
No. Anyway,
it's enough
right.
Poddy for everybody. The Biscoff spread of the podcast. Brown paste of it.
Okay, next. Right. Grim, your foot fell off. Mm-hmm. Do you want to put anything in the bin this week?
People that have no idea about space in steam rooms. I was sat in the steam room and there was a lady, and she was a lady of stature. It wasn't that steamy. And I was sat... So the steam room is like a U-shape. Yeah. Like it's like a Turkish steam room. Yeah. And I was sat in the corner, like leaning against the corner, and I'm only little. And she and her husband were sat next to me, but probably with about that much space. What's that? Like a foot?
Is it like a 30 centimeter ruler?
Yeah. And she just went, she didn't even say anything. She just came and sat down next to him and next to me, but squat, like I had to get up. Just before her thigh touched mine, because she was going to squash me against the wall. She didn't say, excuse me. She didn't say, can I sit here? She didn't say, would you mind if I could sit next to my husband? Could you please move? She just silently did it. And she was aiming for my lap. And I was like, oh. And I had to spring up. Then I was sat there really awkwardly in front of her. Like I'd done something wrong. Like I'd been rude because I didn't want her to be sat on my lap. And then I just felt awkward. And then I just had to leave. And I think some people in saunas, like, you know, when you open a sauna door and it's full and people still come in.
Yeah.
Why are you coming in? Don't come in here.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Was this in the sauna or the steam room?
Steam room. It was in the steam
room. You know what it reminds me of? There's a Friends episode where Chandler goes to play tennis, I think, with Monica's dad and Ross. Squash, I think they play. And then they go to the steam room afterwards and Chandler's got his glasses on and he walks in and they all steam up. So then he goes to sit down and he sits down on Monica's dad's lap and Monica's dad's got no clothes on.
Yeah.
I mean, it just reminds me of that.
And it's just like, it's just weird, isn't it? Why do people have no spatial awareness? So yeah, that's why I get in the bin. And also, the other thing was, on the same day, so I thought there was some sort of like weird camera show going on where people were trying to wind me up. Because on the same day, I was in the gym and I was on the leg curly machine.
Yeah.
And I got up. I literally got off the machine and I got up. As I started to turn around, a woman was on it. Like, I hadn't even wiped it down. And my little flask and my little phone were still in the holders. And she was on it. And I was like, she was there. She was like an inch from my face.
Oh, my God.
Space
invaders. We're putting space invaders in the bin.
Yeah, so I just picked up my things. But and she was just like this. She's looking at me like this. Like,
oh, my God.
Like a manga character. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Kiss you? Like, you're that close to my fucking face.
Imagine if you did.
Same day, two space invaders. Like, it wasn't the same space invader in the steam room. It was a different one.
No.
So yeah, it just was a bit. Jim space invaders, man. Like, get in the bin. Stop
get
it.
In the bin.
At least 2 foot between everybody at all times. Thank you very much. All the best.
Yeah, can we go back to that? I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, because if we had 2 foot between us, you wouldn't have ended up pregnant. See what happens when you don't have 2 foot between you.
Stop it.
She didn't get pregnant from a steam, by the way, guys.
No. I haven't got anything to put in the bin this week. I'm quite happy. So we'll just move on.
Right.
Hey.
Hey.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Question. Ooh. So I wrote this down this week because I was like, I'd quite like to speak to you about this because I want to get some opinions on it.
Just have that thing where when someone says I need to speak to you about this, you think, oh my god, I'm in massive trouble.
Yeah, or yeah. Like, so when I used to be a manager of people, it'd be like, you got time for a catch up? You'd be like, fuck, what have I done?
Yeah, it's never like, now, oh, this could be fun.
Yeah, no, and now like my boss at the radio station, when she grabs me for catch-ups as well, and I'm like, do I need a notebook? Do I need to worry about losing my job?
Do I need a notebook or a lawyer? Yes, Anna, what would you like to speak about?
I just want to know, how do you spell recce, please?
Oh, can of worms. Oh,
because I've seen it spelled
worms are wriggling about.
Many a way. I think it's spelled RECCE. Now, recce is a shortened version of recon, reconnaissance.
Reconnaissance. It's a military
reconnaissance.
Term.
And so the shortened version is actually a recon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's then shortened to recce.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it spell RECCIE, RECCY, RECKY.
What?
Yeah. How do you spell it? How would you spell it, Ali?
I don't know. And I'm looking.
So how do you spell it? If you were writing it down, if you were texting someone.
I don't know. However, the spell check would let me spell it, I think, because I don't like the red line underneath it. So I would let spell check do it. But it's either RECEE or RECCE.
I spell it RECCE.
RECCE. But I think that's the way it looks better.
But I've seen it spelled RECCY.
No, I've never spelled it like that. That's stupid. That's like an American spelling.
Okay.
So if you look it up in the dictionary, it's RECCE.
Okay, fine.
Another term for reconnaissance. Another term for reconnaissance.
Fine. Can we all just agree then to spell it RECCE?
Oh, hang on a minute. There's lots of spellings apparently according to the dictionary. RECCY.
That's what I just said.
RECCE. RECCO.
Yeah. What? Reco?
RECCO. We are
RECCO.
I think that's pickle. She is PICKLE. The act of reconnoitring, especially to gain information about an enemy or potential enemy.
Yeah, the enemy of the ultra.
The enemy of the root. Okay, well, let's from now on, everybody, we will spell it RECCE because that's how it is spelled.
Yeah, fine.
And that's a fact. And if you spell it differently, you're a fucking moron.
Whoa. You also had a question. Question? So in place of the playlist this week, because I think we're just going to give that a little rest this week.
We're on a playlist plateau.
Yeah, we're on a playlist plateau. We don't need to do it every week. You also had a question that you wanted to ask. So I feel like maybe this can be our question.
Question of the day.
Yeah.
God, imagine if we did this every day. Okay. God, that'd be exhausting for the listener. What's my question? Can you remind me?
Yeah, it's about the item of clothing that you want to wear.
What item of clothing?
For a photo shoot.
Oh,
you
my
literally
God.
Told me
right.
Less than an
yes,
hour ago.
Yes. I've got baby brain. I can't stop thinking about Anna's baby.
Stop it.
Whether or not I did get in a steam room. Can you get pregnant from a steam room? I might Google that later. Okay, just for fun. Guys, listeners, we need to talk about dry robes because I'm confused.
other toweling Other warm toweling outerwears are available. That's like saying we need to talk about Hoovers.
Yeah,
Dry
but
Robe's a
other
brand.
But it's the dry robe that is the thing, the actual brand of dry, the actual brand that has become the thing. Like how like the Adidas tracksuit has become the thing.
No, I think it's in general that
Do you
the
think?
outerwear piece of clothing that, whether it says dry robe on it or not, I think is the thing.
The waterproof
Because it's,
toddler towel coat.
yeah,
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's just got those like connotations, hasn't it?
So the problem is, guys, I'm kind of a big deal. I've done a couple of photo shoots in the last couple of weeks. It's cold out there, it's cold, and I'm wearing an outfit, usually some sort of lingerie. It's not lingerie, it's sportswear. And it gets cold. And they're like, bring some warm clothes. And I'm like, okay, but the thing is, if you're on the hill and it's muddy, you can't put your tracky bottoms on over the top of your trainers because you get mud on the inside. So the only thing to keep you really warm would be a dry robe. It'd be the ideal piece of kit when you're on the hill doing photos to protect the what you're wearing to keep all the rain and wind off it, and to be able to just take off and do the shoot. But I just think that people that there is a big dry robe conspiracy, and anyone that wears one now is a wanker.
Okay, so I have Googled why do people hate dry robes, and the results are brilliant. So there is an entire article in the Times called Dry Robes Are Fluffy, Waterproof, and Hated. In the Guardian, Too Cool for the Pool, How the Dry Robe Became the Most Hated Item of Clothing. Mumsnet, Dry Robes Everywhere. I get that they're warm, but they just look so massive. In the there's a result from Facebook that's just called Dry Robe Wankers. Post any picture of people inappropriately wearing a dry robe. The Sun, mums who wear dry robes on the school run are lazy.
Mean.
Stylist, wait, why is everyone wearing dry robes all of a sudden? And then the most Googled ones, where they give you suggestions of what you might mean, is why is everyone wearing a dry robe? What is the point of a dry robe? Are dry robes worth it? And what is the zip inside a dry robe for?
What is the zip inside a dry robe for?
It enables you to operate it with your arms either inside or outside of the changing robe because it's a two-way reversible zip. You can also partially unzip it from the bottom to allow more movement if needed for changing, walking, sitting, or driving.
Right.
So there you go. I don't know. I don't know why people hate them, but they do. And it's a bit like, why do people hate triathletes? I don't know, but they do.
Well, I can give you a whole we could do a whole podcast on that. We could do a season of
Stop
podcasts on
it.
that if you really want me to.
Stop it.
So I think maybe it's got something to do with wearing them out of context.
Like on the school run.
Yeah. But like what's a, but like when you actually look at that, it's like, are we just being arseholes? Because they are really warm
Yeah.
and dry. And like if you've got one, I borrowed one off somebody. What did I borrow it for, Pickle? I borrowed, oh, for
I
the
know.
spine.
Oh, you were wearing it at the Backyard Ultra when you were
Oh,
crewing
that
as
was, yeah,
well.
when I was crewing that, because I could only sleep for 10 minutes. So it was basically being in a sleeping bag, because I could only
Yeah.
sleep like, well, I could sleep for 40 minutes, but I could just go straight to sleep in it. So I was wearing it at that. And also I had every other item of clothing I'd ever had on.
Yes.
That was the dry robe I borrowed for the spine, and I borrowed it because I wanted to have it in the back of my car in case there was a medical emergency. And if I had to put a athlete in my car, I could wrap them in the dry robe while we waited for someone to come and get them to keep
Yeah,
them warm.
yeah.
I don't own a dry robe. Anyway, I started. It was by the back door, and like if I was taking Pickle out for a wee last thing at night, like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it was raining, I just put it on. Because it's raining and it's cold, it goes over all my clothes, and I would take it down the road. Then I would walk, be walking down the road, I'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm wearing a dry robe.
Yeah.
Do I look?" And I'm walking the dog.
Yeah.
Do I look like a wanker?
Yes.
Why? But I think we've just become so judgmental, haven't we? I've
It
become
is a
judgmental.
very It's a very judgy thing. And actually, I think when you look at it on the surface, a dry robe, if you buy dry robe ones, by the way, if you want to sponsor us, guys, get in touch.
I don't think dry robe have got a problem. I don't think they need to sponsor anybody because
No.
fucking everybody on earth has a dry robe.
But so they're £165. So my problem with them, and I think my problem of why I'm so judgy of other people having them is probably because I would never spend I don't have £165 to spend on a dry robe that
Would you spend £165 on a coat? There you go then. Because that's what people are using them for. They're using them for a coat.
yeah, but then there's this thing, there's this whole like chip on the shoulder of like you can't wear it as a coat. So if you spent £165 on it and you wear it as a coat and everybody just stares at you and thinks you're a wanker, that's £165.
I think the only people that stare at you and think you're a wanker are sport people. Are people that are like world swimmers or triathletes or runners or cyclists or people that have used it for the purpose for which it was designed.
And getting dry. Yeah.
Because I think there's a bit of snobbery here, and I think there's a bit of you're taking our thing away from us.
Yeah, probably.
You're pissing on our area. We've worked hard to be able to wear the dry rope.
Yeah, I also feel like, you know, I'm not a wild swimmer, so I don't need a dry robe. Like, if I was still doing cross country, I'd probably consider it maybe for getting changed in afterwards. But there's like we said, there's different brands that do different ones now as well.
Oh yeah. So there's the sheath.
The sheath. The sheath.
Through dark sheath.
That's not what it's called, is it?
Yes, it is. Shield.
The sheath.
No, it's not called the sheath. Like, it's called the shroud.
Yes,
it is called the shroud.
Those two words are very different, Annie.
They should call it the sheath.
Shroud. The shroud, like the invisible cloak. But like Passenger, they do a really lovely looking recycled Sherpa lined.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Looks well nice.
How much
quid.
Is that? I'm going to buy that.
And it's that's what wine, I wear. Red wine coloured, so like purpley.
I'll tell you what, I think I will probably buy the Three Dark one, actually, because looking at the marketing is pretty good. It's only £250 as well. It's a bargain.
Jesus.
This is a shroud. A hooded, pile fleece-lined Cordura armoured overcoat, not to be confused with a changing robe. It says that. Yeah. Designed to protect against any cold and wet weather. We've conquered some pretty extraordinary obstacles already in our short time as a performance outerwear brand, and we've helped put a lot of people on top of the sporting world, and quite literally put people on top of the world. Terrible grammar. For our toughest challenge yet, we set out to make a shroud that would actually look good, as well as keep you warm. Turns out we're pretty good at it. I'm not making this up. This is literally what it says.
Oh my God.
We're pretty good at it. And so our shroud was born. A hooded fleece-lined Cordura armoured mantle, black as night but hotter than hell, designed for all endeavours, conducted in cold, wet weather. Okay. I've never seen an SAS army man get off a boat in a shroud. I swear to God. I've never seen special ops come off fucking helicopter in a shroud. It's a fucking dry rope. Look at the picture of it. It looks like a Del Boy's coat.
It does. Not to be confused with a changing robe, because it doesn't look like it's long enough, actually.
Anna, it's not a changing robe.
It's a coat.
It's a mantle.
Just to remind everybody, Through Dark, we have spoken about them on the pod before if you've listened, but if you didn't catch that episode, Through Dark is like an aggressive menswear outdoor brand that just everything is just very expensive and very aggressive.
Very brutal.
And brutal.
Yeah, they've got like an underpants called Kevlar and like fucking, oh, it's ridiculous. But all the women's t-shirts are too small. They're crop tops.
They're all crop tops.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen anybody in the services of the Special Army Force wearing a crop top.
No, me either. Okay, so I think we need to put this out to the listeners, don't we?
Yes. Dry robes. Now, what's the question, though? Because I think there'll be an argument. I think people will be like, you shouldn't wear them on a school run. But let me just say something, right? You're going to have a baby soon. You're going to be in a situation where you've got Ralphie wanting to go for a walk. You're going to have like a three-year-old being like, nah, and you're going to have to take the baby to school or nursery, and you're going to have to go to work. So you're going to sit there and be like, fuck's sake, I've not got time to actually put any clothes on. So you're going to grab the nearest coat and you're going to go to fucking nursery and drop said child off, walk the dog.
Won't be a dry robe, though.
Yeah, but that's when the dry robe comes in handy, I think.
Yeah. And that article said that school mums that wear dry robes are lazy. I think that that's very judgmental, because you don't know what, you know, they might have a Ralphie to walk. They might be doing.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
X, Y, and Z.
And I bet that was written by a fucking. I bet that was written by fucking Matt. And it's like, what, does the bloke go to fucking the school gates in his brogues, does he? That's ridiculous. Yeah. So that's the other thing. So dry robes.
Yeah.
Maybe the question should be, dry robes, should we be judging?
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
And I'm going to probably buy a Passenger one, because I do think that
Passenger.
For some of the stuff that I do where I'm outside, and I put my dry robe on the spine when I was waiting at a roadhead because it's fucking freezing and I was waiting for.
Yeah.
And then Phil, who's the race director, turned up and I immediately took it off and threw it in the car because I was like, I can't have Phil see. Phil Heyday Brown, the nicest man on earth. I was like, he can't see me wearing a dry robe. He'll think I'm a wanker. Like, and then he said to me, the spine are thinking of making their own dry robes.
Oh, what, like Parkrun have?
Mm. What would they be called? And I'm like, leave that with me, Phil, because I'm sure I'll come up. The sheath.
Spine. Don't.
Spine sheath.
No, the spine sheath. No.
So yeah, that's question of the day. Enjoy, everybody.
Question
enjoy
of the day.
Enjoy that mass debate I've incited on social media.
Brilliant. I love it. So I went to go and sing a little ditty there, but we didn't have a little theme tune for question of the day. But do you know what we do have a jingle and a theme tune for?
What?
It's correspondence in a corner. It's correspondence corner.
It's correspondence corner jingle.
That is incredible. I've honestly never heard anything like it.
How I feel about it, like I love it, but I also don't.
It's quite creepy, isn't it?
Thank you to wonderful Fiona for making that and spending actual time on making it. We do really appreciate it.
I would say she's a professional musician, but I don't think she wants people to know that, so we'll just say that she's a harmless fan of the pod. Have you seen on Netflix Can I Tell You a Secret, the social media thing? So it's really creepy, and it's about a social media stalker type person. And the correspondence called a jingle sort of reminds me a little bit of it.
I feel like it's a James Bond ripoff a little bit.
A little bit. But like, it's not really James Bond, is it? It's more like Timmy Blind. James Bond. Timmy Blind. He's like the shit James Bond from Scunthorpe.
Oh my God. I've got some correspondence.
Oh, God, I was going to say, we just played the jingle. Have we got any correspondence?
Yeah.
Should we play the jingle again?
No, Julius, okay. Don't.
Don't play the jingle again. Okay.
Oh, we had a really lovely DM, a thorough DM from Lucy.
I love a thorough DMing.
It's very... Oh.
And I got pregnant via a thorough DMing.
Oh, wow. Right.
Sorry, everyone. Right, come on, be serious. Correspondence.
Hey, podcats. I'd like to humbly submit my Tarawera 102 Win Grim Get in the Bin for correspondence.
Can we just have a little round of applause for that? Like, yes. You, everybody, that's incredible. What a bucket list race.
I know. Oh my God, get me to New Zealand now. So, Lucy says, this is long. The bin part is key if you want to skip the rest. I'll do the lot. Do the lot. Win. Epic and beautiful race. Nailed my dream day plan. The vibes on the course were incredible all day. Love it.
Perfect.
Grim. My playlist didn't download, so I was alone with my thoughts for 11 out of 15 hours. Not ideal. That is rookie, Lucy. Rookie.
Yeah, but it's such an easy mistake. You think, you know, I'll just check that. Yep, that's happened, and it hasn't.
Bad times. Mm. She also puked from 13 hours in to 24 hours after. Lovely.
Absolutely delightful. It's a win for thin, put it that way.
Yeah. All right, my biggest fucking get in the bin, though, Lucy. Uh-oh. Is raging. She is a very cross patch.
Uh-oh.
Tarawera has been taken over by UTMB.
Oh, let's just leave it at that.
That's not the main get in the bin, bear with, is right. What she says.
Right.
I'd already entered and refused to pull out because this is a bucket race list for me. I also had very high hopes I'd at least get to experience some flawless race directing from the big dogs.
Offs. No. You expect it. They're professionals.
No.
Oh.
I was on my period and there were no women's only toilets, no sanitary facilities anywhere to be seen. Sophie Power's been banging this drum long enough. Female menstruating runners deserve better.
And UTMB have been one of her major, like, yes, yes, Sophie. Yes, Sophie. Yes, absolutely, Sophie. Obviously not, Sophie.
No. UTMB is meant to be the pinnacle of commercial ultra running. I went through 8 aid stations and start and finish toilets, and nowhere were there ladies' loos or clear sanitary provision. And yet UTMB had the fucking audacity to give a big song and dance about having 48% female participation across all the races that weekend. Anyway, enough ranting. Love the pod. Love you both. Love Ali's book. Love running. Lots of love. So much love. I love Lucy. She's so positive, but she's so cross.
Lucy's an expat and she's coming back to the UK. You know, she's coming back. She's from Wales.
Yeah.
She's been out there for a couple of years. When she left, she actually gave me one of her race places, her Pegasus race places, because she couldn't do it anymore. And really sweet of her. I've never forgotten it. That's how I got involved with Pegasus. That's a love story there. Okay. I don't even know what to start with it, because it's just... like it's like we talked about last week or the week before last, when it's like it's not rocket science. It just it's not rocket science. It's just not rocket science. And you can't go on about having 40. So of the 48% of women that were taking part in your race, how many of them would have been on that period?
Yeah.
Mm.
And also, like, you know, we've spoken about this before. This has happened to me before. When you're doing endurance races, you might not line up on that start line having your period, but, you know, a few hours in, your body can do strange things. And it's happened to me where I've just suddenly been like, fuck, my period started. And mm-hmm. That wasn't due for like a week, because you're putting your body through such hard stuff that it's like, I don't know what to do. So, yeah,
it's almost like I'm tired of talking about it. Do you know what I mean? It's exhausting. I know.
But it's so important, because the minute that we get tired about talking about it, the minute people like race directors and whatever sit back on their laurels and go, oh, thank God they've stopped banging on about it now.
You are absolutely correct. And yes, you're absolutely correct. And yeah, it's just so fucking, it was just not hard. And even Lucy didn't say she didn't have any sanitary products. She may well have been sanitary. She might have had one of those like belts with like, instead of it's just tampons.
Tampons
all over it like that.
She had nowhere to put them.
She couldn't go in anywhere to put them anywhere.
Brilliant.
So,
brilliant.
Yeah, lovely. But it's not that fucking hard, is it? Just to have a box, just to have one toilet that says women only, and to put the box in the toilet or even on the aid station. We're not embarrassed. Well, a lot of us aren't embarrassed anymore. We'll take tampons out like we take fucking sweets. Like, not a problem. Yeah. But like, it just makes it fucking rubbish and difficult. How many times have my period started on a race where I'm like, this isn't due? And it comes for sometimes it turns up for like 5 hours and then it's like, bye again. And I'm like, thank you so much for visiting Aunt Flo. It was so great to see you. I wasn't expecting you. But yes, I mean, UTMB just needs to do better. I'm super interested to see what happens at the old UTS this year, just out of organisationals. Just at the organisationals. But Lucy, please do make sure that you send a message to the race as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is that, you know, it's all very well and good us talking about it and what have you, but definitely give them your feedback direct, because that is the only thing that's going to make them actually listen. That's all the correspondence in the corner for today, folks. And we've pretty much run over as well. What a long old episode.
Sorry about that, everybody. But, you know,
loads to chat about.
It is what it is. What are you doing this weekend?
Park run. I'm going to Urchester Country Park. And if anybody's listening, this is recorded 2 weeks ago, so don't try and come and visit.
Urchester.
Yeah.
Urchester. How do you spell that?
I, because I need the I for my alphabet. Urchester. Urchester.
That's nice. Yeah.
And what else? Axe throwing.
Are you allowed to do that?
I rang them up and asked, and they said, yes, that's fine. as long as you sign a waiver. I was like, okay.
What do you mean? As long as you don't stand in front of the bullseye and let people throw axe at your baby. Yeah, it's fine.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, cool.
what are you doing this weekend?
Well, on Friday, I'm going to Big Bear. I'm going to go do a talk at the Big Bear Brewery.
Yes, you are.
All in the Big Bear Brewery. Yay. And then I'm going to, on Sunday, I'm going to run leg 3 of the Pennine Way LOL Fest, that is the Challenger South for a recce with my dogs.
Lovely.
Going from Slack
to
Gargrave.
Oh, nice.
I hope so. I'm due some bad weather, because I've had such good weather for all these recces I've been doing, and I'm like, oh Jesus, I'm just due a monsoon. Pickle and Zorro with me, because Julius, our editor, our erstwhile editor in the wild, has decided to do a backyard ultra again, and I don't know why.
Ooh. Is that the Leeds one?
The Rasselbock one this weekend. So, guys, this will be, but you'll be behind. But yeah, the Rasselbock one's big. It's big.
Yeah, I did it last year.
Yeah, we all did it last year. We were having a right old laugh last year. I was crewing. But yes, that was a year ago.
Yeah, no way.
Good race. You get a little sapling, don't you, when you eventually DNF?
Mine died.
Did it?
Yeah, like proper died. It never even came to life.
Julius is thriving.
Oh, mine sat in a pot and just went brown. And I put it in the compost bin.
Oh, maybe it'll grow out of the compost bin.
It's the saddest DNF tree I ever did receive.
You're rubbish. I'm going to die.
Okay, yeah, basically.
Okay. Well, I love you guys. We love you. I love you, Anna. And I will see you next Tuesday, literally.
See you next Tuesday. I love you. Bye.